Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, a Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord God, we pray to you in the name of the Word, may manifest the flesh. We beseech you, Lord God, now to, Lord, work. Lord, tonight, dear God, through this message, Lord God, Lessons for Life, Part 2, is considered tonight, dear Lord God. Even so, pray that those listening would consider the rich man of the world and what Father Jesus Christ to say in the context of St. Luke 6, as well as in the context of St. Matthew, chapter 19, and other passages, dear Lord God, such as Luke 16, as we'll see later on. And the scriptures as a whole, dear Lord God, how they address the matter of the rich man of the world, Lord God. Lord, that we would all the more, dear God, give thanks, Lord God, not so much for the riches of this world, but for the riches eternal that are in Christ Jesus, those spiritual blessings, the heavenly places, dear God, that are ours in and through Jesus Christ. If anybody, dear Lord God, listening to this message does not know Son of you, the living God, what it means to be chosen in him, to have those spiritual, eternal riches bestowed upon them by way of the love of you, the living God, everlasting. I pray, dear God, that as a result of this message, dear God, they would come to know those riches, that they come to know the Son of you, the living God, his salvation. And for those who are listening and are saved, may their hearts abound all the more with thanksgiving, as I pray mine would abound all the more with thanksgiving, Lord, in light those eternal riches that are mine, given by the Son of you, the living God, whom I have chosen, that I should be holy without blame before him in love, even as I am washed from sin in his blood. Thank you, dear God, tonight, this day. I ask you to be honored. I ask you to be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to start in this edition of the Word of the King, Lessons for Life, Part 2. We're going to start in St. Luke, Chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19, and we're going to read down through verse 25. Reading from the King James, ABC 2:11. Word of the living God.
Amen.
The whole multitude sought to touch him. There went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Verse 20, and he looked up to the eyes of his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21, blessed be ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that meet now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you, cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23, rejoice ye in that day, and weep for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Verse 24, woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. But I want to look particularly tonight, verses 24 to 25, St. Luke 6, 9, chapter 6, verses 24 to 25. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Jesus said concerning the rich man of the world, St. Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man hardly entered into the kingdom of heaven. 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel. Go through the eye of a needle, then for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The rich man of the world. The Word of God says, Paul in the letter to Timothy, that the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, which while some coveted after. The Word of God declares, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Last of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet that which is thy neighbor's. And there is much coveting.
Amen.
Of the love of money.
Yeah.
In this present evil world. After Jesus said what he said in the context of St. Matthew 19, verse 24, and again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25 declares, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved?
Yeah.
This, but Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Yeah, it is.
But Jesus was by no means declaring that it's not possible for the rich man of this world to be saved. He was just saying, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved into the kingdom of God. Because the rich man looks upon himself as having what the book of Ezekiel refers to in the context of Sodom and Gomorrah as having fullness of bread. And ultimately when sinners esteem themselves to have fullness of bread, they don't see the need for the bread of life who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God declares, turn to James chapter 2. Let me just say, dear listener, whether you are saved, whether you are a born-again Christian today or not, I will tell you that the rich men of this world are not your friends. And I'll get into more of that here momentarily. But I repeat, the rich men of this world are not your friends.
Tell me.
The Word of God declares in the book of James, chapter 2, starting in verse 1.
Yeah.
Reading that through. Verse 10. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory with respect to persons. With respect to persons, if you hold one person to a higher standard than another, that is what the Word of God speaks of as being a respecter of persons. Verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Verse 3, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That word gay, by the way, means happy. It does not mean homosexual. It does not mean God calls a sodomite. There is no such thing as a gay or a happy sodomite.
Amen!
Where the gay clothing still has to sit now here in a good place and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Be not then partial in yourselves, nor become judges of evil thoughts. For I hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom?
Yeah!
Verse 6, but yet despise the poor.
Yeah.
Do not refresh you. Do not rich men of oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat. Talk about the rich men of this world. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fact of history, speaking of the rich men of this world, that there is this place called the Vatican. And even in ancient Rome, one of the hills there in Rome is called Vaticanus, which means, in classical Latin, the place of divination. And the rich men of Rome, that city which sits on seven mountains, in Revelation 17, she knows all about bringing those who fear God before her judgment seat. Have you ever heard of the Inquisition? Have you ever heard of the Dark Ages?
Well,
it is estimated that around 68 million souls were killed at the hands of the Vatican and her hellish assistants during the Dark Ages. An estimated 68 million perished at the hands of the rich men of Rome. And there are these wicked sinners known as Roman Catholic Jesuits. And these Jesuits, albeit their society, also known as the Society of Jesus, was founded by a man known as Ignatius de Loyola. And Loyola also created what is known as the Illuminati, a satanic organization to control the minds of European leaders for hypnosis, witchcraft, and mind control. Now, at that time, when they were founded, it was just organized to control the minds of European leaders, but ultimately this control of the minds through hypnosis, witchcraft, and mind control, which Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, created the Illuminati, has stretched itself to the control of not just the European leaders, but the leaders of all the nations of the world. Hence, Rome is that city which reigns over the kings of the earth, according to Revelation chapter 17. Talking about the rich men of Rome operating through the Jesuits, the Illuminati, control the minds of men through hypnosis, witchcraft, and mind control. This being the very testimony of an ex-Roman Catholic Jesuit priest himself. These are the rich men of the world. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Even now, in these United States of America, the Roman Catholic Jesuits work through the likes of the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers of the world. Even here in the United States of America right now, dear listener, they are plotting to bring those who fear God, those who have been chosen, rich in faith, they're plotting even now. That the Lord bring them before the judgment seats here in the United States of America. And I fear for you who call yourself a Christian, but man to this room dare bring me before the judgment seat in the United States of America, all because it's the United States of America. And I fear, for those of you who have this idea, that God would never allow such a thing to happen here, all because it's the United States of America. It has been well said, and I can say this with all authority, that indeed, though one would say there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist, or albeit having a special favor for one's nation to the point where you don't favor globalization, okay, I'll agree, there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist in that regard. There's nothing wrong with having a particular favor for your nation. And when we speak of in the context of despising or abhorring globalization, for which the Vatican and its Jesuits pursue every day. Oh, yeah, they're all about globalization. They are all about restoring the global temporal power of the Pope and the Jesuits, created by this wicked sinner Loyola, were founded for that very purpose. It was referred to as the Counter-Reformation. Basically, Loyola, working for his father, the devil, was going to seek to take back all that God had bought as a result of his working through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his working ultimately through that man there in Germany, Martin Luther, to ultimately expose the crimes of the rich men of Rome in his day. In fact, one of the main things, the main thing that Luther himself stood up against in his day was that thing called indulgences. Talk about the doctrine of rich men. Talk about indulgences. And Luther himself proclaimed, as the scriptures proclaim, that the just shall live by faith. The just do not live by money, they live by faith. Word of God declares, James chapter 2, verse 7. Speaking of these rich men, do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Certainly. Certainly, the rich men of Rome and her folks know all about blasphemy, as they call him, quote unquote, Holy Father. And yet there's only one. There's only one who was the Holy Father. And Jesus prayed to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was not praying to a pope. Word of God declares, do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Speaking of the rich men of this world, there's a book that was put out by James Melton, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Martin, Tennessee, called Satan's New World Order. Subtitled, the heading, How World Leaders Are Building the Kingdom of Antichrist. Kingdom of Antichrist being that kingdom that is in existence just before Jesus Christ returns to rule and to reign for 1,000 years from Mount Zion there in Israel. On page 29, I read here from this writing by James Melton, Satan's New World Order. The CFR, now CFR stands for Council of Foreign Relations. CFR aims to be only an organization concerned with spreading the knowledge of international relations and developing a reasoned American foreign policy. Yet over and over, we keep finding anti-American foreign policies being promoted by CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, members, and former members. Former President George H.W. Bush left the CFR in 1979 before serving as Vice President under Ronald Reagan. Upon becoming President in 1988, Bush surrounded himself with CFR staff members. Then on the eve of the 1991 Gulf War with Iraq, Bush began speaking about a New World Order. And by the way, if I might just jump in here and make a comment, I have actually heard and seen with my own eyes George Herbert Walker Bush making this statement concerning the New World Order on YouTube. And feels like it's still up there if you want to go check it out. Upon becoming president in 1988, Bush surrounded himself with CFR staff members. Then on the eve of the 1991 Gulf War with Iraq, Bush began speaking about a new world order being the hopeful result of the United Nations involvement in the war. He continued such talk for a whole year while we were at war with Iraq and in the months following the war. This was, of course, a war that he would not wage until he had received approval from the United Nations, instead of our Congress mandated by the U.S. Constitution. In a televised address on September 11, 1990, President Bush said, out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, the New World Order, can emerge. And again, I actually heard with my own ears, saw with my own eyes, Bush make that statement in a YouTube clip where this was recorded on YouTube. You can see it for yourself, probably yet. But I go on here, exactly 11 years later to the day. Listen to this, folks. Exactly 11 years later to the day, World Trade Center of the Pentagon would be struck by terrorists. This tragedy presented a need for a Federal Homeland Security Department and a Patriot Act to better secure the emerging New World Order. The fact that many of the items in those plans were in the works before the terrorist strikes occurred doesn't seem to matter. As Congressman Ron Paul of Texas has so rightly said, every 20th century crisis led to rapid expansion of the federal government. The cycle is always the same of temporary crisis used to justify permanent new laws, agencies, and programs. The cycle is now repeating itself. The cycle will continue to repeat itself. The author James Melton goes on. The cycle will continue to repeat itself until a big brother government has full control and surrenders this control to an all-powerful world government. These, dear listener, are the rich men of the world. They're the Bushes. They're the least, they're the United Nations. They're the rich men of this world. Did they not blaspheme that word in the name of the witch ear call? Proceed. To fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced that the law is transgressors. By the way, if you didn't already catch the significance of what I just read there from James Melton's book, Satan's New World Order, and the significance of the fact that it was 11 years, exactly 11 years after George Herbert Walker Bush initially spoke of a New World Order, that his own son, George Bush Jr., was the president of the United States of America, and the Twin Towers happened to fall. The message, the point is, 9-11 was an inside job, folks, and about time more people in this country start waking up and realizing that. Not that many have not already done so. Well, speaking of the rich men of this world, let's talk about another man that these Jesuits, these Illuminati. Again, the Jesuit founder of Loyola, also founding the Illuminati. Let's talk about another man that they control right now. President Barack Hussein Obama. Now, folks, his real name is actually Barry Davis Obama. And once you realize his name is actually Barry Davis Obama, you would maybe want to ask the question, well, why would he change his name to Barack? Well, the answer is, I'll be pretty emphatic when saying this. It lies on a tradition. And yes, I am thoroughly persuaded that Barack Hussein Obama himself is a Muslim, and here's why. Because according to Islamic tradition, Muhammad claimed that one night while sleeping next to the Kaaba, he was awakened by an angel called Gabriel, who led him to a heavenly type of animal with wings named Burak, U-R-A-Q, Burak. When he mounted the beast, they flew to the site of the Jewish temple ruins at Jerusalem. Muhammad said at the temple site he was joined by the prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and others who prayed behind him. After prayer, he mounted Burak, ascended into heaven, where he again met with the prophets, finally God himself. Muhammad claims to have received the creed of Islam and instructions for five daily prayers directly from God in heaven. This vision made a tremendous impact on world history at a later date. What is this impact? Well, it has to do with the big lie that Abraham sacrificed Ishmael, not Isaac, which is the teaching of Islam, that Abraham actually sacrificed Ishmael, not Isaac. As a result of this vision involving Burak, Muhammad mounting on this heavenly type of animal with wings named Burak, the Lord was built a mosque done with a rock in Ishmael's honor. Again, in Ishmael's honor, because according to Islamic tradition, he's the one that Abraham sacrificed or was willing to sacrifice, who got stopped. As a result of this, Muhammad's vision, the Lord was built a mosque done with a rock in Ishmael's honor on the site of the Jewish temple that was destroyed in 70 AD, making Jerusalem the second most holy place in the Islamic faith. But now, Burak, what does that sound like? Burak, 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 Burak. Yeah, folks. Barry Davis changed his name to Burak because anytime a Muslim, or should I say a person, has converted to Islam and their name is not, in their eyes, I guess, preferable, they will often change their name and take on a name that has significance in the Islamic faith, whether it's Muhammad himself, the name of Muhammad, or in this case, Burak, the heavenly animal with wings that Muhammad rode upon when he had this vision according to Islamic tradition. But again, I guarantee you, Burak being good friends with elite individuals like George Soros, I guarantee you he's gotten to be one of the rich men of this world too. And again, they're not your friends, whether you were saved, whether you're a born-again Christian or not, the rich men of the world are not your friends. Do they not blaspheme that worthy name under which ye are called to fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Oh, do they not blaspheme that worthy name under which ye are called? I haven't even seen a YouTube clip, or I've seen a clip anyway, on the internet, on this one brother's site, blessedquietness.com, I've seen a clip of Barack Obama back a number of years, I guess when he was maybe still a senator there, and he was mocking, he was making light of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very, what are known as the Beatitudes themselves, or what, in the context of what I started with tonight, in St. Luke chapter 6 and in Matthew, some of the things that Jesus said in the context of the Beatitudes as they are known in Matthew. Yeah, he was mocking, he was making light. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, which we also reap. And the rich men of this world can be just as sure as any sinner can rest assured that they do not turn from their way. And as it were, hide themselves by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, flee from the wrath to come, their sin will find them out. Your sin will find you out, dear listener. Rich or not, your sin will find you out. You must be born again, for except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. Verse 9 of James 2, if ye have respect to persons who commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor. Verse 10, for whosoever keep the whole law, yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. I shall read verse 11 yet as well. Read it said, do not commit adultery. Said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thou shalt not kill. God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. Have you ever had what's called an abortion, dear listener? If you've had an abortion, you were a partaker in murder. You were a partaker in murder. Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Have an ungodly hatred toward your neighbor. Not loving your neighbor as yourself is sin. It's a transgression. That royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, they're committed to the law as transgressors. St. Luke 16. Turn to St. Luke 16. We're going to read about a rich man here in Luke 16. And again, Jesus said in the context of St. Luke 6, verse 24 and 25, woe unto you that are rich, if you have received your consolation. 25, woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. St. Luke 16. Before I continue on here, St. Luke 16, read a portion from the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome, page 289 of Charles Chinnicky's Testament of 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Charles Chinnicky himself, ex-Roman Catholic priest, back in the days of Abraham Lincoln, who himself was close friends with Abraham Lincoln. But not long before he was assassinated by the Roman Catholic Jesuits in his day, speaking of Abraham Lincoln, he had gotten truly born again. He had gotten truly saved. But page 289, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, published by Chick Publications. You can go to Chick Publications, www.chick.com. You can pick the public, see this book. You can pick up a copy. And have a copy sent to you via the mail. Again, you can order at www.chick.com. Page 289 of this work, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, Chick King lets us know about the Jesuits working for the rich men of Rome. The Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order. Their chief is a general of an army, not a mere father or abbot of a monastery. The aim of this organization is power. Power is the most despotic exercise. Absolute power, universal power. Power control the world by the volition, will, a single man, that being the Pope. Jesuitism is the most absolute of despotisms. Despotism means dictatorship. And at the same time, the greatest and the most enormous of abuses, probably the most monstrous hurt, injury, and damage. The general of the Jesuits insists on being master, sovereign, over the sovereign. Wherever the Jesuits are admitted, they will be masters, cost what it may. Their society is by nature dictatorial. Therefore, it is the irreconcilable enemy of all constituted authority. Every act, every crime, however atrocious, the meritorious work, if committed for the interest of the society of the Jesuits or by the order of its general. Yeah, that's for 50 years in the Church of Rome. Page 289, published by Chick Publications. even back in Abraham Lincoln's day, Dr. Rivera, ex-Jesuit priest, testimony you can also find in publications. Even back in Abraham Lincoln's day, Finke's day, according to ex-Jesuit priest Albert Rivera, the master plan for the fall of the United States was underway in the Vatican. The Jesuits and Pope Pius, the Ninth, were preparing to send French troops into Mexico under the Maximilian back to the South when the Civil War began. Again, the rich men of Rome, the rich men of this world, plotting the destruction of the United States of America, founded upon the Judeo-Christian faith, the values laid out in the pure preserved Word of God as we have them in the King James Bible. Satan 16. We're going to consider a rich man whom Jesus spoke of. Verse 19 of Satan 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, before I continue on to verse 23, I believe it would be appropriate to, once again, quote the words of the Lord Jesus in St. Luke 6, verse 24. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Again, verse 22 of St. Luke 16, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus, likewise, Lazarus evil thing. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would not pass so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Verse 30, 31, he said, nay, Father Abraham, one way. Unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Woe unto you that are rich, and ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh down, for ye shall mourn and weep. And it could be said of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, Jesus himself said in verse 21 of St. Luke 6, blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Oh, Lazarus, he was hungering. He was hungry in this life. So much so that he was willing to take just from the crumbs fell from the rich man's table. As it were, he was filled, though. He was filled, as it were, in Abraham's bosom. So he wept. So he wept. Much, I'm sure. The dogs came and licked his sores. I'm sure he laughed in Abraham's bosom. even so the rich man, though he was full in this life, he hungered in the flames of hell. And those of you listening, if you may, see yourself full in this life, surely as you die in your sins, rejecting Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel, the good news, how he died for your sins, his buried, he rose from the dead the third day, you will open up your eyes in hell, and you will hunger then. You will hunger then for him as the bread of life. It will be too late. No. You, as one of the rich men of this world, that you would laugh now. You die in your sins. You be not born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him alone, having turned from your own way. You will. In hell. More than we. This rich man here in the context of St. Luke chapter 16. And there will be such a great gulf fixed. So that even though you would, as it were, pass from hence to that other side, that side of blessing, you will not be able. Jesus Christ himself declared, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. May there be a school in there at. So, sinner friend, listen to me. You have a choice. Are you going to die in your sin with the rich men of this world who shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven, who shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God? Perhaps you're listening, and you are one of the rich men of this world. Would you see yourself poor as you are spiritually? That you might be one of the few who enter into the kingdom of heaven? One of the few who enter into the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus Christ? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless, take his name in vain. You use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. You use the name of God as a curse word. You say God, and you say the word damn simultaneously in a moment of rage, frustration. You use the name of Jesus, you use the name of God loosely when you're joking around with your friends. You're a blasphemer. You're a transgressor of God's law, and God will not hold you guiltless. You must be born again. You must come unto Jesus, for God commended his love toward us. That's right, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. God was revealed in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. There are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John tells us the Father, the Word, Holy Ghost, these three are one. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by the blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Acts 4:12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All sin and come short of the glory of God, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8 declares, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ephesians 2:8-9 declares, but by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so any man should boast. raised me from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, 13. Speaking of those without that New Jerusalem, that heavenly Jerusalem, speaking of those that are without, speaking of those that have no place in that city of God everlasting. Revelation 22, verse 15, for without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth to make it a lie. For without are dogs. I believe that's talking primarily about sodomy, homosexual, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, whosoever loveth to make it a lie. Idolaters. First of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thus saith the Lord. Word of God. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22, verse 7. Again, speaking of that heavenly Jerusalem, that city of God everlasting. There shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved from your sins. Thou shalt be saved from the wrath to come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your name will be written there, my friend. And it best be written there. Revelation chapter 20 declares, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 14, 15. Where God declares in 1 John, but if we walk in the light as he, God is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There is no need for purgatory to purge from any sin. The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of it all. No need for purgatory. The place doesn't exist. You want to talk about the rich man of Rome getting rich? They get rich. One of the ways they get rich is off of a lie called purgatory. So, where God declares in 1 John, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. To give us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which in chapter 2, verse 5 declares, there is one God, and no mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he gave himself a ransom. Ransom for all, he testified in due time. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom. A payment. A payment. I should have paid in the lake of fire. A payment for sin that you should have paid in the lake of fire. Jesus Christ already paid it. Why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die and go to the lake of fire for all eternity? When Jesus Christ has already paid it for you. His own life, his own blood on the cross. I'll tell you why. Jesus himself said, he will not come unto me that you might have life. Come unto Jesus. Have life, dear listener. And you who are saved, may you be faithful. Tell your souls about the Savior, what time we have left. May you be motivated all the more by a thankful heart that is faithful. To the rich eternal. Whereby you have been made rich. Jesus himself having become poor, he might be made rich in heavenly place through him. May our hearts, believers, truly abound in thankfulness for those riches. This has been another edition of the Word of the King. Well, next time, may we all be bold for Jesus. May we all expose the temple of darkness, having no fellowship with such evil purpose. Remembering, what fellowship hath light with darkness? This has been the Word of the King. Until next time, this is Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you. and yours